Maine is known as Vacation Land. The nickname is even on the state's license plates. Few places in the state attract more visitors than scenic Acadia National Park on Maine's coast. By this time of year, many of the seasonal businesses have closed and the tourists have thinned out. But that does not mean there is not a lot to see, including some stunning backdrops and plenty of birds if you know where to look and listen. How many species of birds do you think you've seen in this area?
Probably in the high 60s.
In just this area?
In just this area, like in a four-hour walk on a two-mile loop. So we're going at like half a mile an hour. And
on a seasonably wet and chilly day earlier this week, field biologist Rich MacDonald took us on a tour of some of his favorite places to look for birds in Acadia National Park.
So when you listen, you can hear different birds. Are you hearing any right now?
Yep. I would say most of my bird watching is actually bird listening. And so I'm hearing the chirping of a black-capped chickadee. It was over here doing this little kind of dee, dee, dee. Let's just listen for a moment, see if I hear anything else. There's a really faint, off in this direction, really faint, high-pitched kind of seat, seat. It's hard to hear with the rain pattering on the ground and our jackets, but yeah. That's a golden-crowned kinglet. It's a little bird.
MacDonald has been birding for most of his life and leads tours in Acadia and before the pandemic all over the world. He's also a big proponent of birding locally.
Anywhere you go, you'll find birds.
To commemorate the 100th anniversary of the Migratory Bird Treaty Act, which protected birds migrating in the United States, MacDonald spent 2018 cataloging as many birds as he could see in his home county of Hancock, Maine, which includes the park. MacDonald published a book about his year of intense birding called Little Big Year, Chasing Acadia's Birds.
In the course of the year, I saw 268 species of birds, and most of them were things you would expect to see, but some were uncommon or some were even downright rare, rare for this area, not necessarily rare in the planet. And I think, you know, maybe the biggest message was that you don't have to go to all these exotic locations, which is really fun to do,
yeah. But
we saw a lot of really good birds here. These guys are not migratory.
But for MacDonald, it doesn't have to be a rare bird. He says that he gets a lot of pleasure out of seeing common ones.
Most people, they look at that cluster and they say, oh, just seagulls.
Yeah.
What do you see?
And so I look at it right off the bat. I see two particularly large gulls
that
have white heads and white underneath and black backs. And those are called great blackback gull.
Okay.
It's the largest gull in the world.
Oh, wow.
And then so I look at my binoculars, as I can see at least three juvenile great blackback gulls.
So not even a seagull is born.
No, I think seagulls are fascinating. Seagulls are fascinating. People talk about chickadees are so common. Oh, it's just another chickadee. And I'm like, but the chickadees are really cool. Let me tell you about, you know, any number of stories about a chickadee. But yeah, every bird is interesting and unique in their own way if you look for it.
MacDonald is in the midst of another year-long birding project right now, one inspired by the realization of just how environmentally taxing his last annual project was.
At the end of the year, I drove 6,390 miles, and I was really kind of disturbed by how much I drove locally birding in 1 year. I swore that I was going to do it differently another time, and I would do it as a zero carbon birding, which I'm doing that this year. So I'm only counting birds this year when I leave my house under my own power, by bike, walking, carrying my kayak the quarter mile down to Northeast Creek and paddling into the ocean. So, you know, seeing a lot of different birds that way and showing that you can see almost as many birds under your own power as you can driving.
With a little less than 2 months left in the year, MacDonald has already seen more than 250 species. To go with the zero carbon theme, he's incorporating research on climate change into the project, which will also be his next book. As in almost every corner of the earth, global warming is being felt here, changing the food habitat and ranges of birds.
People come here and always ask me, we want to see puffins. Where do we go to see puffins? But we're seeing puffins starting to struggle because we're at the southern end of their range. And puffins forever have been feeding the young a small little kind of almost eel-like fish called a sand lance. That's kind of a big part of their diet. And the young can just swallow it down. Because of the warming Gulf of Maine, and the Gulf of Maine is warming faster than almost any other saltwater body on the planet. So we're finding fewer sand lances, and we're finding more fish that are similar length but are fatter called butterfish. And the puffins, adults, are feeding the young butterfish. And we're finding the young puffins are often choking on these fat butterfish. So we're seeing reduced numbers of puffins fledging in this area. Again, we're at the southern edge of a habitat range. So we expect to see some fluctuation, you know, puffins expanding further south or further north. But this is a real problem, and that's, you know, purely due to global warming.
His tour business took a big hit during the pandemic in 2020. But McDonald says that tourists have come back in force this year. Acadia has had a record number of visitors, part of a pandemic-related trend of people wanting to get outdoors.
It's kind of exciting in that we're getting more people into the park who are going to hopefully love the park and appreciate it and want to become stakeholders in conserving natural lands. I'm taking a lot of people out that are really unfamiliar with the natural world, and they're so excited to learn about it. That's great.